of Matthew chapter number 7. I want to preach tonight on the tale of two houses. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus has been preaching the Sermon on the Mount, which began in chapter 5 and has run all the way down through the conclusion of chapter number 7. And as he nears the end of this sermon, you're going to see him as he begins to make contrasts. He begins to talk about two gates, that wide gate and that narrow gate, which open up to two different kinds of ways or paths, which were traveled by two different types of groups of travelers, which ended up in two different destinations. And then beginning in verse 15, he began to talk about two different kinds of professions. You have some folks who are real, and you have some folks who are wolves that are in sheep's clothing. And I remember saying that night, there are some wolves that they may not be in a sheep's clothing, but they carry a sheep's skin. You'll get that after a while. There are other people. In verse number 16, the Lord begins to go on and make a comparison here between two different types of trees and two different kinds of fruit. And now he's come down here into verses 21 through 23 again, back to the professions, two different types of professions. And then there's verse 24 tonight, he mentions two different kinds of builders building houses on two types of foundations with two very different results. And now I want to say this. The United States has a Department of Housing and Urban Development. It's called HUD. It tries to help people. And God's got his own housing department. God is interested in building the house where he dwells inside your soul. And I want to say this to you tonight. God's assistance program will never fail, and it'll never run out. The only qualification is you come to him as a sinner and you repent and you leave differently than you came. Amen? All right, when we look at these verses tonight, I want us to look first of all in verse number 24, and I want us to see the construction of a wise life. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you need to try to study what it's there for. Okay? He is relating it to verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are folks that say they are really saved, but in their actions, in their lifestyle, they deny him completely. And the Lord begins to give this last comparison because there's a crowd out there, amen, that act like they're religious, but they're really unsaved. And the word that goes to them is, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You see, what happened is they heard the word of God, but they would not apply the word of God. It is interesting to me as Jesus makes this contrast. He makes a contrast of those who hear and do, and those who hear and do not. Let's look at that, verse 24. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see that? Hearing leads to doing. And that would lead to success. Verse 26, look with me here. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Now, you're looking at me? Both groups heard the word of God. They sat in the same services. They heard the same choir. They listened to the same special songs. The same prayer was prayed over all of them.
They heard the same sermon from the same preacher out of the same book. But when they left, one group was doers of the word, had applied the word, and the other group left not willing to do or apply the word. Are you with me? J. Harold Smith told me 70% of the church lost. W.A. Criswell said 70 to 75% of the church lost. Billy Graham said maybe up to 80% of the church lost. And I'm talking about we have numbers on the roll. I've been here 12 years, and I've still yet to meet some of them. Well, preacher, they're going to church at such and such. I've talked to their pastor. He's not seen them either. I'm telling you, just because you made a little profession and you got baptized and your name's on a church roll somewhere, that does not mean you really, truly were born again. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And listen to them as they begin to argue with God. Lord, didn't we prophesy? They're arguing with the Lord. Lord, did we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? It's almost like they go out of the church saying, we deserve to go to heaven. Who is God not to let us in? We deserve to go to heaven. We're good. None of us deserve to go to heaven. None of us. If anybody leaves this church and says, well, I think I deserve to go to heaven. Friend, you don't. We're all sinners, all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. So as we look at this contrast then, both groups are hearing the message of God. Are you with me? And one group does, but one group does not. It's almost like from an external perspective, understand, that everybody in here tonight, we're building a house for the Lord. You with me? Or he's building in your life if you let him. Every one of us tonight. You're looking at me funny, but every one of you tonight when you leave, you're going to your respective house. In fact, where you sat tonight, you sat in your respective space, in your respective house. Are you with me? I feel I've got to get this coat off. I got preaching to do. These houses, from this external perspective, they look pretty much the same. They've got bedrooms, shutters on the windows, maybe chimneys, fresh coat of paint on the exterior of the building. I mean, everything looks good. I even wonder about these two houses if maybe they're not even in the same neighborhood that the wise man built and the foolish man built. Same storm hit them. Maybe they're in the same area, kind of pretty close to one another where they've built. But there's some real differences here. You see, the difference in these two homes is their foundation. One is built on the rock and the other is built on the sand. So there was a difference then in planning. And there was a difference then in preparation. Friend, the difference tonight is not when or how, but it's where. You must build your house upon the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. The real estate market says, location, location, location. That's the three most important things about which house to build. Location, location, location. Preacher, I've heard that. What does it mean? Listen to what Jesus said. Location, location, location. The solid rock, the sure foundation, the rock of ages. That's where the wise life is constructed, amen. So location does matter. Jesus said, the wise man built upon a rock. Now the word wise is the word phronimus. It means to be prudent and it means to be sensible. And here the Lord Jesus Christ says, the man who hears my word and does my word, he is prudent and sensible when he acts upon my word. Proverbs 24:3. Through wisdom is a house builded. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. So wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Jesus gives you the word and you have to take wisdom to apply the word of God to your life. And only when you begin to apply his precepts, his principles, his doctrines, then your life will turn out right. but only when you come His way. Now, Jesus said He built it upon a rock. The word rock is the word Petra. And the word Petra means a rock bed. That's what it means. It means a rock. You know what Jesus said about the rock? Matthew 16:18. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If the wise man builds his house on a rock, Jesus is the wise man. And Jesus builds His house, the church, He builds it on a rock. If Jesus would build on a rock, Lord God, looks like you and I ought to be building on the rock as well. Preacher, what is that rock? That rock is Jesus Christ. He is that sure foundation. Hallelujah to God. The psalmist said in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock. In the book of Acts chapter 20, as Paul is talking, turn there with me, as Paul is talking to the church, which is at Ephesus, watch what he says to them in the book of Acts chapter 20. I want to turn down here to verse number 32. I want you to underscore it in your Bible, what he said to them. He's just warned them. He said, after my departing, grievous wolves are going to enter in unto you. But look what he says in verse 32. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Preacher, I don't get it. The wise man built his house on a rock, and the rock is the word of God. The rock is Jesus Christ, the sure foundation, the rock of ages. Look what Paul said about this church. We know that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Look what Paul said. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Build your life on the word of God. I've told this before, but I'll tell it again because it runs through my mind. Had my grandma and grandpa's church in Hot Springs, North Carolina. It's just a little old feller. I like to run around barefooted. And I'll never forget that day. I just put my shoes on. Was ready to leave the sanctuary. And the pastor, I believe, it might be Brother Suggs. He got down there at the back door, and he laid his Bible down on the ground. He said, son, stand on my Bible. Now, he'd carry me and let me ring the bell. I was so excited. But he said, son, I want you to stand on my Bible. And I looked at him. Mom and Daddy taught me you don't put your foot on the Bible. You don't put the Word of God under your feet. And the man of God said, son, it's okay. And I looked at my daddy, and my daddy said, go on, son. And I stepped my little feet up on that preacher's Bible, and he looked at me and said, son, build your life on the Word of God. Stand on the Word of God. Amen. And when you're old, the Word of God will still be building you up and will still be carrying your life. Friend, I'm telling you, we've got mega churches that are not teaching the Word of God. I don't know what they're building on. I don't know what they're building to begin with. Amen. And it worries me to death, because if we're not preaching the Word of God, if we're not teaching the Word of God, if we're not building on the Word of God, what have we got? What have we got? I'm not talking about having all these programs. I'm talking about just having the Word of God as our basis. Amen? That's what we need. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 6, verse 63, He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said in the book of John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, therefore are that you are my disciples indeed. You think about that. How many people have you seen start and just quit? If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In other words, it really shows about your true conversion. Maybe you made a little false profession. It is just possible. Lord, Lord, I want to go to heaven. And they've run to the church as an insurance policy and got their name on a church roll, and they're out doing everything else on Saturday night. On Sunday morning, they come to sing the songs of God, but on Saturday night, they've been singing the songs of Garth. Amen? On Sunday morning, they run in to get a little church. But on Saturday night, they've been out dancing at the club. Something wrong somewhere. If it's okay for you to be doing that junk, I did say junk. Friend, I'm telling you, you're not going to just run in here and act religious and then live like the devil the rest of the week and then try to portray that you're really saved. Preacher, you're getting out of the book. You see, the wise man is one who hears the word and becomes a doer of the word. He hears and heeds the word. I remember a fellow said, he said, I read the word of God. I've read it through 4 times, and it's never helped me. And the preacher said, well, instead of you going through it, you got to let it go through you. We see the construction of a wise life. Verse 25, the complications of a wise life. You see, the reason the wise man builds on the rock is he's preparing for the storms which lie ahead. Preacher, I don't think there'll be any storms ahead. Have you got a house? One, two, well, a bunch of you do. You got a roof on it? Why'd you do that? Keep the rain out. You were planning for the storm. Have any of y'all got walls and windows at your house? You know why they're there? So when the wind blows, you don't freeze to death. You've been planning for the storm. The wise man builds a house on the rock because he's planning for a storm. What kind of storm's coming? Oh my. All kind of storms gonna come. But the greatest storm's gonna come. There's gonna come a storm of judgment. And the house that's based and built on the rock, it'll go through the judgment fires. Amen. Look with me, verse 25. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Boy, I tell you what, the Weather Channel didn't go to this location. Because the Weather Channel likes to film things that's being flooded out and washed away, you know, and fallen. They don't just go show beautiful homes that's just standing there handling the weather just perfectly. You see, that's not good. Listen, that's not good news to a lot of people. They want to see devastation. Huh? Oh, yes, you do. You like to see destruction. That's why the Weather Channel's out there. Huh? Show you some of this stuff, what's going on. Lord God, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to see the wise man's house go floating off when the rains come and the floods come up. Because his house is built upon the rock. Hold your place. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Kind of a parallel passage. Luke chapter 6, verse 47. Let's read verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You hear the word, but you won't do what I tell you. Why do you call me Lord if you won't do what I say? Whosoever cometh to me, verse 47, and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep. You see, we got a bunch of Christians nowadays. Listen, they don't like no digging. They're so-called Christians. We want it the easy way. Easy doctrine, easy believism. We don't want to do no digging. Hello? He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. You see, in Judea, the storms come and it produced great torrents and great rivers and it sweeps houses away. But the house that's been on the rock is unmoved. It's unshaken. Friend, thank God tonight. It's undaunted by the torrential downfalls of this life. You see, the storms, you hear me, will reveal what your house is built on and who your faith is in. The trials of your life will show the strength of your faith and the strength of the foundation which you build on. It will come. The Bell Rock Lighthouse is built 11 miles off the coast of Scotland in the North Sea. It has been built since 1811. It stood for over 200 years, and it rests upon 1 acre of solid rock. Did you know that the reef that it's on is covered by water, by surf, 20 hours a day? So in other words, to build it, the builder, his name is Robert Stevenson, and 65 other men got out there and began to build with only 4 hours to work every day. And every day they were slaving digging, chunking, laying a foundation on that rock. And for 200 years, mind you, for 200 years, as the sea rises and the rains come and the winds blow, that lighthouse still stands. You know why? Because it's built on a rock. And I want to say to you tonight, friend, we can build our lives, thank God, on the sure foundation, which is Jesus Christ. He'll withstorm all the storms that'll ever come to us. Praise God. There will be complications in your wise life. Yes, there'll be difficulties. Yes, there'll be trials. But if you'll build on a rock, it'll turn out all right. Number three, I want you to see the composition of the foolish life. Jesus says, everyone that, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Jesus said, if you hear the word and you don't put it to practice, you're likened unto a fool. The word in the Greek is the word moronos, where we get the word moron. It is to be very foolish to hear the word of God and say, I reject it. Don't want anything to do with it. And the Bible says that this foolish man builds his house on the sand. The word sand is the word Ammon. There's a city called Ammon. It's over in Jordan. It is nothing more than sand. That's all it is. And there's a lot of people build their lives on shifting sand. And you know why they do it? Shortcut. Well, it would be a whole lot cheaper and a whole lot quicker to build a house without a foundation. Why do we want to dig footers and have to go through all that mess when we can just start building right here and just go up with it? It'd go faster. It'd save us a lot of money. They're trying to shortcut God. With me? Let me tell you what people are building their lives on shifting sands. Sex before marriage is a shortcut. You think it's going to work? Huge mistake. Huge mistake. There are people who build their lives on shortcuts, thinking, well, we can still shack up and it'll be all right. It's still a sin. You're still a sin. Oh, preacher, that didn't make me happy. This is 2012. It's almost 2013. I'll say it again. The Word of God has not changed. Shacking up will never replace marriage. Never. And all these lifestyles we practice today that are supposed to be socially acceptable, the Word of God's not changed. And we cannot shortcut what He's wanting to do in our lives. You remember I told you this morning about King Saul, who was supposed to wait on Samuel to come with instructions from the Lord. And he paced and paced and began to see the other armies of the enemy growing. And he got under pressure and he decided, I can't wait no more. I've got to do something. I've got to do it now. And he went ahead and acted as a priest. And the man of God came in and 1 Samuel 13:13 told him, the Lord would have built you a house. He'd have built you up. But because you went out, wouldn't wait on God, you'd have tried to shortcut God, He's going to remove you as king. Your kingdom will be no more. It's going to fall into another man's hand who's a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was foolish. He decided he could shortcut God. Get the picture. People build on the unstable, shifting sands of opinion. Not me preaching my opinion. It's the Word of God. It's not me preaching human will and human philosophy. It's the Word of God. Build on the Word of God. You'll turn on all the TV evangelists. A lot of you send your money there. Want to support them. But you listen, he never even opened his Bible. And if you're supporting her that's a TV evangelist, she ain't no TV evangelist. Huh? The foolish man always chooses the path of least resistance. He builds the easy way instead of the right way. Verse of Scripture, Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's the composition of a foolish life. They've taken the foundation out, that sure foundation, they get rid of it, and they build on shifting sands, and they try to shortcut things. It won't work. Number four, there is the calamity of the foolish life. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, evidently they've had the same kind of storms and trials and troubles and tribulations, no respecter of persons. They follow saved people and unsaved people. And I'm telling you what it'll really show. Oh, when a man's saved, he's built his life upon the Word of God, and when the storms come, he's still standing. But you'll see other people, man, go through the unshifting sands, and then what do I do? And some of them say, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll call the preacher in the middle of the night, and I'll talk to him. It won't work. I'll run down to the church, and I'll run down that altar, and I'll get me a quick fix. It won't work. I know what I'll do. I'll go to the deacons, and I'll ask them for a bailout. Bail me out. Even if they do, long term, it won't work. Are you with me? Lives not built on the Word of God, on the sure foundation, on the solid rock, on Jesus Christ. No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, Jesus Christ. That's the only way it's going to work, y'all. The home that stood was sturdy and strong. And the one that sank was shaky and suspicious. What was the difference between the two? The foundation. A lot of folks are shouting there when they come to church. Oh, they're going to shout when they come to church. But they're going to be singing some other song during the week. I promise you. Now, I want to close right here, fifthly, with the certainty of Jesus' words. Look with me. It came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. What sayings is being referred to here? His Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That don't make no sense. How can a man be hungry and thirsty for righteousness and get filled? Hey, you trust God and build on the rock, you'll find out. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Hey, we go on and on. He said when he preached those sayings, he's talking about his sermon. Hey, he's talking about the entire, infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God. I have a copy of the sayings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when they heard it, they were astonished. They were blown away. That means to be sore amazed. They had never heard such inspirational wisdom. They had never heard such instructional words. They had never heard such intense warnings. They had never heard anybody speak like that. Never spake any man like the man Jesus. Nobody ever spoke to him like that. And for when he spoke, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the scribes, they have seminary accreditation. I've been to seminary and I can handle and preach the Word of God. But when Jesus stood up, he had sovereign authority. Amen. And when he spoke, it causes their hearts to burn. Hey, there's been preachers I've got around. The Holy Ghost used them so greatly that I sat on the edge of my seat. They painted a picture in my mind. I couldn't wait to hear more. Couldn't believe they'd preached an hour to me, and I felt like it's 5 minutes. I wanted to hear more. It was so instructional. It was such a blessing. But to hear Jesus himself on top of that would be even greater. For all of eternity, he's going to be expounding to us more and more and more on the Word of God. Well, if you don't like church now, you're not going to like it in heaven. I thought about these verses in closing. I thought about it. How many were standing in this crowd? Multitudes. Probably thousands of people. When they heard this sermon, the greatest sermon ever preached, I wonder how many of them went out and did what Jesus said and put it to practice. How many wise men were in that group? Then I wonder how many stood there and said, well, I sure thought he'd give out a meal today. I thought maybe he'd give out some assistance to help us with our power bill. I really thought he'd give me some money so I could run down the local grocery chain and get me some bread. But he didn't do that. No, but I tell you what he did do, honey. He preached the Word of God and told them about salvation and told them the difference of false profession and told them how to build their lives. How many of them left out wise and how many of them left out foolish? In fact, I wonder this morning, this great congregation that's here this morning, what about tonight? How many of us tonight on a Sunday night are going to leave right out of here and are going to be wise and we're going to do what Jesus says? How many of us are going to go right out here tonight and be foolish and say, well, That preacher preached too long. And he preached too hard. You see, he was sweating. And he spit two or three times real hard. I'm glad the front row stayed away from him. He had on a pink shirt. What a distraction. That's all a lot of people get. That's all they get. Where I grew up, Mom and Dad's house, I lived there pretty much my whole life as I grew up. And after I moved out and my brother went off to school, Mom and Dad decided they was going to add on to the house. Why, I'll never know. Both kids are gone, now they decide to add on. I guess they decided they got all this money they've now got where they've been feeding us all these years, and now that they don't have to feed us anymore, what are they going to do with all this money? They're going to build on to the house. Maybe they were preparing for the grandchildren to come home. I don't know. But they expanded onto their house, a huge section. And had a great big garage. Some of y'all been to my mom and dad's house, and they got this big old carport out front. And it kind of goes over parts of the old house. And there's an old existing gutter there that's kind of under the new carport in the dry, but it goes out to where it gets to the wet. And there was a bird. She began to build over in the corner up underneath the carport. She was building a little nest for her little baby birds to be born in. And I remember coming out the door and saying, listen, ma'am, that's not going to work. You see that gutter you're building in right there that you think is a refuge and safety? It's linked right out here where the wet's going to come. And when that water rises, it's going to flood. She didn't hear me. I mean, she heard me, but she didn't put it to task. Well, preacher, birds can't talk your language. I wonder about that because I've had some of them talk to me, and I understood them perfectly. You'll get that after a while, too. And one day, them little babies were born. I remember going to visit Mom and Dad. Gina can tell you, tweet, 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 chirp, 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 chirp. Mama would fly in, give them a worm. You know, oh, they were just growing up. And then it happened. She'd build her house. She heard what I told her. But she said, this is a safe place. I'm not really doing anything all that wrong. I'm just raising my family. I'm a good moral person. When the storm came and the gutter filled up, began to run down that downspout, it could only handle so much water, and it went over to the other side. And my dad told me, he said, son, you ought to hear that little bird this morning. She wasn't singing like she's been singing other days. Honestly, my mom even said, she said, it's the most lonesome bird sound I ever sounded in my life. I said, what happened, Mom? She said, all her babies drowned and washed down into that downspout, and they're all gone. Just pieces of her little nest is all that's left. She's alive because she could get away, but her heart's broke. You see, because she decided to be foolish and build her life in a gutter and try to raise her family in. I don't care who you are. I don't care how good your house looks. I don't care how bright your children are. It won't work if it ain't built upon Jesus Christ. I lived down here in the parsonage for over 2 years. And Jeff and Shirley remember there was a little bird. Mother bird she built in. There's a little birdhouse out there. There was. It's gone now, ain't it? But there's a little birdhouse out there. My wife was so excited to hear the little birds that were born. She would many times go and peep through the little hole and see those little ones. And it was pleasant. It was kind of thrilling to Gina when she'd go around and see those little ones. And as they grew up and the mother kept feeding them as they grew up, they all began to leave the home. And Jeff said he had been out mowing or doing something, and this is what we found. Her last bird that left, somehow the mother, when she built her nest, she brought in some string, seagrass string, thinking it was like a piece of straw and it would keep them warm. It looked good. But it was a rudiment of the world she built with. And somehow that seagrass string got tied around that one little bird's leg. And when my wife cried, and I did too. When it tried to fly away with all its brothers and sisters, its leg got caught. And it jerked it down, and it flew around and flopped around and tried to get loose. But its leg was caught by the rudiments of the world. Brother Jeff will tell you, Miss Shirley too, that little bird died right there, tied to the world. Because the mother decided to bring some worldly things into her home,
cost her her children their future. I want to say to you, make sure you build on the solid rock. And make sure the building materials that you use, they're the right stuff.